Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Comedy History 101. Today we have a brand new episode for you on the history of Where's the Beef? Yes, what started as a TV commercial in the 80s became something of a comedy trope. It's in our pop culture lexicon. Before we jump into the episode, be sure to take time to subscribe, like, and comment on Comedy History 101, either through our site, comedyhistory101.com, or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever else you subscribe to Comedy History 101. And without further ado...
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
So what you just heard there was the classic 1984 Wendy's commercial that popularized the catchphrase, Where's the beef? Which became, it's a trope.
It's a
trope which is now a lexicon in our culture. Where's the beef? And yes, you've tuned into another episode of Comedy History 101. Where we... school you in comedy. I am Harmon Leon. With me is Scott. Where's the beef?
Klonico. Where's the beef?
Scott, where's
it's
the
a
beef?
Really big bun. It's a big bun, Harmon.
So Scott, when you think of the words, where's the beef, what comes to mind?
Where's the beef? Clara Peller would be what comes to mind for me.
Yes, Clara Peller, who played the classic old lady of one of the three old ladies in the Where's the Beef commercial, which, once again, was a 1984 commercial created by the Dancer Fitzgerald Sample Advertising Agency. Do you know what other commercial they were responsible for?
Well, Harmon, because it's right in front of me, but they were responsible for the Toyota Oh What a Feeling campaign, which I don't remember that one, do you?
I'll say I don't, but I'm sure it was good. And the commercial, the Where's the Beef commercial, was directed by one Joseph Seidelmeyer.
Wow, Joseph, okay. Good work.
Yep, and the 1984 commercial, Where's the Beef, was credited for boosting Wendy's annual revenue by a whopping, and I'm not using a hamburger
oh,
pun
man.
There.
No, that's the wrong one, dude.
It boosted Wendy's annual revenue by a whopping 31%. Oh. Where is
the
beef?
They showed you where the beef is.
Further, Scott, Where's the Beef lives on as one of the most memorable TV commercials of all time, according to Ad Age, who named it one of the top 10 ad slogans of the 20th century.
Yeah, it's a pretty famous commercial. Actually, that gentleman, Joseph Seidelmeyer, did a lot of like the kind of the classic kind of 80s commercials that we remember. He also, for example, he did the Federal Express fast talking dude.
Oh, yeah. That guy was a classic. Yeah. And what else?
Those are the two that jump off the top of my head. Of course, Where's the Beef in this? But he was a Mad Men style advertising guy. And then later on, apparently he had a film at the Sundance Film Festival in 2003. So he was.
Or if he was in Ireland, he would have had a film.
Yeah, dude. And I was there. I was there in 2003. So it's like maybe I could have been hanging out with the Where's the Beef guy.
So how did the Where's the Beef whole commercial come about, Scott?
Well, Harmon, I'll tell you. The whole idea behind the campaign the Wendy's was trying to set up was they wanted to distinguish themselves as having, as the commercial says, more beef than in their competitors, like, for example, McDonald's and Burger King. So,
Big Mac and Whopper, respectively.
But the interesting thing, because what they're selling in the commercial is for the Wendy's single. So they were trying to say, you know, that their single was bigger than the big SS Big Buns, jumbo hamburgers.
Ah, I see. And the ad originally was titled
Fluffy Bun. Yep.
And as you mentioned up front, starred the actress Clara Peller.
Oh, okay. Oh, not quite, Harmon. Yes, it did. But apparently, they went through a couple iterations of the commercial. I tried to look around. I tried to find one online because they actually ran. Yeah, really? They ran these commercials, and there was one. It started out with a young couple, and they're saying where's the beef, and then they tried one with like an older bald-headed guy saying where's the beef, and neither one of those worked, and it didn't work until they got Clara Peller, who's actually a she's a manicurist, and she was kind of a known. She was like a local commercial. Person in the Chicago area. She'd been doing commercials for like 10 years.
Where's the beef?
Yeah. So I found a commercial she was in right before that. I believe it was sort of Jarton.
Yeah, the moving ones. Yeah.
Here's a little excerpt.
Well, I think we need a bigger price. I better rent the truck.
It's easy to move yourself with a Jartran truck or trailer.
Oh, I get it. So she plays kind of the feisty old lady in a lot of things.
Yeah, well, that's kind of her. That's her. She's a character actress. Yeah, that's her shtick. That's her thing. But apparently she had emphysema, so she couldn't, like, she couldn't really speak correctly. I mean, she speaks correctly, but she's just kind of has a, she couldn't read off long lines. Like, she couldn't do, like, extended dialogue. So, for example, she's supposed to say in the commercial, she's supposed to say, where is all the beef?
And it was too hard for her to say due to emphysema, which is kind of a downer. Yeah. And it got changed to, though, one of the, you know, our kind of catchphrase trope.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
So, Scott, how did it work out for the catchphrase, where's the beef, in Clara Peller? Did it all just end there? Did it end there with one commercial?
Oh, Harmon. No. How short-sighted you are. No. Clara kind of made, she made scale, SAG scale on the commercial shoot, which is about $300 per day. But then she later on admitted that she got like $30,000. That's $30,000 in 1984 dollars, whatever that is today. And then she might have gotten a close to $500,000 worth of just like doing promotions. And she would go around the country kind of promoting Wendy's and being their spokesman. Like, she's got to, there's a pretty cool story where she got to meet Ed Koch, the mayor of New York City. When his thing was, how am I doing? So then they exchanged catchphrases there. And then also she was an official at one of the WWE World Wrestling, back then the World Wrestling Federation championship events. And then she also starred in a couple movies. WrestleMania 2 was one where Clara was the judge. And she also starred in a couple of movies, namely, number one is Moving Violations. Have you seen that one?
And who co-starred in that?
I think that was the one with Bill Murray's brother, like the other brother that nobody hears about.
Where's the bank?
Right here, ma'am.
That's good.
Oh, anymore. Yeah.
That, and it was written, but that was actually written by the dudes from, I think, Firesign Theater, something like that.
Really? Proctor and Burton, something. I
don't know if it,
and I believe they were Canadian.
Yeah, I don't know if it was them. Maybe not. We'll get it into our Firesign Theater episode. But it was like the guy who wrote Movie Violations had done a lot of other stuff. I think Americathon was another one that he had done.
And also she appeared with the legendary Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, that was in
In Larry Cohen's The Stuff.
Yeah, so that's actually a horror movie. And Larry Cohen actually kind of, the man who wrote and directed It's Alive, you know, the one about the baby coming to life, the monster baby. That's back in the 70s. Oh, wow. Yeah, really? And then he also, then he went on to have like a pretty respectable career. Like, he did Phone Booth, that one with Colin Farrell. Remember when he was trapped in the phone booth?
Yeah, that movie's a bit dated because there's no phone booths anymore.
Yeah, no.
So I think I saw that movie like a while back. He's trapped in a phone booth in, I believe, Times Square.
Something like that, yeah. Somebody's shooting at him or something.
Yeah, it was Keith or Sutherland.
Ooh.
Yeah, so anyways, she also appeared in a Steven Spielberg episode of his show Amazing Stories as a disgruntled motorist yelling, "Cut out the beep button."
Oh man, the '80s. But I think.
But I say, sorry.
I was just going to say, I don't know if you're going to go here. Maybe I'm trying to beat you to the punch, but I think kind of my favorite Harmon, her one of her later appearances is in her in the rap record.
Well, that was also in 1984, along with Nashville songwriter Coyote McLeod, who wrote a hit song, which is kind of rappy, called "Guess What, Scott?" It was called
"Where's the Beef?"
Where's the Beef? Yeah. $1.99 for a whole darn meal. Boy, when she opened the buns, put on the mustard. Her eyes squinted up, she got all flustered. She said, "I've had burgers, well done and rare. Now I got one that ain't even there." She got no response from ringing the bell, and that's when she started to yell, "Where's the beef? Young man, can't you hear a call? She don't see no beef at all. Where's the beef? Call the cop and catch the thief, the one who stole this lady's beef. Where's the beef? Think there's anybody back there."
There you go. Yeah, so apparently I did some research on old Coyote. So apparently he was a morning drive time DJ in Nashville for a long time, and then he did that, and then died of cirrhosis of the liver. Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
This has turned into the bummer episode, man.
So apparently that was released on vinyl in 1984, and it became a cult classic, and still to this day very hard to find.
Oh, interesting.
Other than on YouTube, where you just have to do a Google.
Yeah, search. No, the kids would just buy the vinyl and put it on their tube amp stereo.
Yeah, but so Scott, apparently things didn't end well with Clara Peller in the Wendy's franchise at all.
What happened?
So. Apparently, so she breached her contract when in 1985 she starred in a Prego's pasta commercial. This is like, so they penned this to play off her fame, where she was saying, "I found it. I really found it." Yeah,
saying that the beef is in the sauce.
"I found it.
Real beef. It's in there, in new Prego Plus spaghetti sauce with beef and onions.
I really found it.
Prego Plus, with chunks of ground sirloin beef. Lots of beef.
I finally found it.
It's spaghetti sauce you can really sink your fork into, with that homemade Prego taste. Try all four delicious varieties, including new Prego Plus with beef.
Boy, did I find it."
And I think there's a really kind of funny like legal quote that somebody said, like, legally yeah. The only place that Clara can find beef is at Wendy's or something. They couched it in legalese. That was kind of funny.
Now, did you hear about this? You know, besides, you know, there was tons of bumper stickers, frisbees, clothing patches. There was also a "Where's the Beef?" Milton Bradley.
No way. Oh man, it looks like the Mad Magazine dude did that, maybe.
Yeah, I was about to say that. So it looks like the guy Sergio Arnaz.
No, this is one of the other guys. I can't remember which one. Where's the beef, man? She's wondering where the beef is.
Yeah, so apparently on, I guess, the site BGG, which is Board Game Geek, they give the "Where's the Beef?" game, which came out in 1984, they give it 2 stars.
Oh, wow. Okay, we'll have to sit down and play some.
I think they went off brand. So here's a quick description of the "Where's the Beef?" game. "Where's the Beef?" is a combination of roll and move memory game. Food titles are randomly placed face down on the board, which is a layout of a typical Wendy's. Mm-hmm. Players take turns moving through the restaurant. When they come across a face down title, they can secretly look at it. Some titles prescribe certain actions. Oh. Others are food and have no effects. Afterwards, the players return to the title of the original position. The object is to be the first player to find 4 hidden "Where's the Beef" tokens. God, that sounds like a piece of shit. I was just listening to a podcast on the E.T. video which is coined the worst video game of all time.
Yeah.
And it just, and like part of like why it was so bad is when you get so far off the original brand of, you know, what the thing is, well, you know, when you try to make a game out
of it. Well, I mean, it was also, it was just a horrible game to play. I mean, it was just wasn't any good. And, yeah, there's actually a documentary on Netflix about it because they, like, apparently they had, the legend is they had so many leftover cartridges that they all buried them in a landfill.
Yeah, I believe in New Mexico. Yeah. And so they had an interview with the guy who designed it, and they had like 3 months to design it, you know, to get it out before Christmas. And, you know, he did his job.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just buried him in a landfill.
Yeah, it's not a good game. I've played it, actually.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So Scott, did that end the Where's the Beef commercial with the firing of Clara Peller for doing a Prego pasta?
Oh, commercial? No, Harmon. Wendy's brought back the Where's the Beef. They found the beef again in 2011.
Oh, wait, did it create such a frenzy as the original 1984 commercial?
How can,
the 2011
no, man, how can you like outpace, you know, Where's the Beef?
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 Where's the beef? Where's the beef?
Oh, first of all, this commercial looks like it was filmed in Austin.
Yep, that's Austin. Holy crap. Holy crap, dude.
Here's what they did in 2011. They cast some hipster dude.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Going into a thrift store, and he comes across, you know, a vintage Where's the Beef t-shirt, and he puts it on, and then it's like, where's, you know, it's Where's the Beef all over again for a new generation.
That's right. It's of hipster. Where's the Beef 2.0, man?
Oh, God. And I think we were talking about this before. It's kind of like when, you know, not hipster things try to be hipster, like when Radio Shack tried to rebrand
Shack.
Itself as The Shack. And then what there's another one, like it was like something else I forgot about. I wrote about a bunch.
Well, don't they Taco Bell just try to be the Bell or something?
Yeah, the Bell. Yeah. It's just like, oh, stop it. you're doing a market, you know, research project for us here. And it doesn't work.
No, please.
That was the 2011 thing. Also, Where's the Beef popped up, I would say almost more than once, but I only could find one instance of it. It popped up on The Simpsons.
Okay, yeah.
If I went to a barbecue and there was no meat, I would say, yo, Goober, where's the meat?
Okay. Where's the meat? Probably the most famous one, Harmon, would be the... it is a presidential campaign here, and we also do another podcast called This is the President, where we talk about all things presidential. Right. Harmon and I find it wherever you find your favorite podcasts. In the 1984 presidential campaign, one of the Democratic candidates were having a debate on TV, Senator Gary Hart was going on about all the new programs he was promising, and the vice president, former vice president Walter Mondale, jumped in with, "Where I hear what you're saying, but where's the beef?"
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
Yeah. They laughed, slapping their knees.
But then that
and neither of them were elected. Because that's the year Reagan
won. And that was, but like also that was the, when they were all, that was kind of the beginning of presidents using commercial catchphrases in their ads.
Oh, and who else is
Reagan did it? Reagan did it with the
read my lips.
Reagan did it. No, and then Bush did it when he called somebody Joe Isuzu.
God, oh God. Yeah. Side note, I hate politics. Yeah, no. So one last thing of Clara Powell, just another big appearance of hers. She appeared on an April 14th, 1984 episode of Saturday Night Live that, going back to politics, was hosted by 1972 Democratic presidential candidate George McGovern.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to find some of those clips. I could not find any of that. What?
So he hosted the whole episode?
Yeah.
Like doing sketches with, I think that was like maybe the Joe Piscopo, Eddie Murphy era.
I think that was either right at the end or, yeah, here it is. It's just, there's the monologue. So that was either right at the end of the Eddie Murphy, Joe Piscopo stuff.
So again, just to wind things down here on the history of Where's the Beef, after Clara Peller was fired for doing a Pringles commercial playing off the Where's the Beef slogan, Wendy's suffered a 2-year sales slump, which kind of rebounded 5 years later when they branded a new series of commercials with none other than Wendy's founder, Dave Thomas.
Ah, yes. See, those are the ones that people are familiar with, old Dave Thomas. Yeah, so to clarify our earlier thing, it looks like, George McGovern was on the Saturday Night Live before the Billy Crystal, Harry Shearer years. So he was at the very, at the very tail end of the Joe Piscopo, Robin Duke, and...
Yeah. Oh God! Like they would never book something like that now. Like, let's book a man who didn't win the presidency 12
years. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Yeah, there's no way they do. I mean, that's the kind of that could be in our Saturday Night Live episode again. But like, you know, I think for a while when they started out, they were booking musical guests that they all thought was interesting, and now it's literally whoever's on the top of the chart, they're gonna book them.
Oh, God. The last time I watched Saturday Night Live, I watched a bit of, like, when Eddie Murphy...
Yeah, I watched that one. I thought that... I liked that episode, but it was all Eddie Murphy, you know?
I just think the writing on there is just so fucking horrible. It's just awful.
Oh.
And then, again, you're dealing with, you know, they're searching the country... You know, for the best of the best out of all your like UCBs and you know, Second City and everything, and then you just come up with just something that's just cringy,
awful. Yeah. Oh well. That has nothing to do with Where's the Beef.
Yeah, and I guess in closing here, when Clara Peller was fired, her response was short and swift. She said, "I made them millions, and they don't." Appreciate.
Yeah, that's sad. So, man, this turned out to be a bummer of an episode. Dude, people getting fired, emphysema, cirrhosis of the liver. Man.
George McGovern.
God, what did we do? How'd this go off the rails?
Yeah, so Scott, any takeaways of Where's the Beef and its place in comedy history?
I think it just goes to show you that commercials can be a part of pop culture and comedy history as well.
I think it's also its place is like let's see I think it's like one of the first like let's cross brand this with as much things as we can. Like, let's just take one thing and make frisbees out of it and a rap album.
Yeah.
Out of a 30-second
commercial. Yeah, I think what's interesting, so it's like that hypermarket. What was interesting was that, so the director I was reading about, Joseph Sadelmeyer, apparently he made his break in that he kind of started casting normal-looking people in his commercials as opposed to, like, models and stuff. So that was kind of like the I guess return to realism or whatever that in advertising and that was happening in the 80s. You know, if you like almost at the exact same time, if you like you take a look at one of those Double Mint gum commercials with the Double Mint twins, yep. And then you've got this commercial, you know, with three elderly ladies yelling, "Where's the beef?"
Yeah, here, here. And I guess if we're going to end this on a slightly bummer note, Clara Peller passed away in 1987. I know.
Oh, Jesus. All right. How do we do this to ourselves?
I could bring us back. Scott, where's the beef?
There's a big fluffy bun. Hey. Yeah, but you know, there are. So maybe you could drop in because there were sequels to the Where's the Beef. So there was one where she's driving through a drive-in, and then there's also what she's calling the Mr. Big Bun on his yacht. Yeah. So there's some, but you know, I would like to see those original ones. So if anybody's got those original Where's the Beef commercials with the couple and the elder guy and the older guy, but we'd love to see them.
So those were actually made, or was that just sort of like just in the testing stage?
I said they were. I think they were actually produced and made, you know? Yeah. Huh. They must have just maybe ran them locally or something.
Yeah. So I guess with that, it's time to...
No.
Plug away!
Okay, well, hey, Harmon, thanks for that intro. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Harmon and I do another podcast called This is the President, where we look at all things presidential, but funny as well. Something you're going to want, a little bit of humor leading up to this year's election. And so you can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And then I wrote and produced a movie. Harmon also produced it, called Everything You Want to Know About Sudden Birth, But We're Afraid to Ask, which is showing. We're showing one more time at the Landshut Film Festival here in Germany, so that'll be exciting. And then one other thing is that Harmon and I also wrote and produced another movie,
we'll give you a hint. It's
no.
A big film festival.
No. Just say, no.
In a city no. That's named after a large
okay.
Fruit.
There, that's enough. Just leave it there. So we'll be sure to let everyone know about that as the time gets closer.
More thing. And also,
sorry, I'm not done plugging, dude.
Yep.
Then, of course, to go with our podcast, we have the This is the President YouTube channel, where you can see all these videos and listen to funny presidential. Where you can see all those videos and listen to funny presidents.
Here. And also, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment on Comedy History 1, either via our website, comedyhistory101.com, our Instagram, comedyhistory101, our Twitter, comhiss101, or our Facebook page. And with that, we will read your comments, which brings us to viewer mail.
Oh, man. What do you got? What's in the mailbag, Harmon?
Oh, my God. I like this one. This one is from a Larry Rowing. He says the subject is 40s. 78 song, Candles. Larry says, I had this record years ago, searching for a copy, or at least the full lyrics. It may have been labeled Laugh, and artist might have been Tex. Lyrics go, why does Miss Phoebe buy candles when she has electric lights? Why does she do with those candles on those lonely nights? So it was a homage to our history of
party records. Yeah, so. Excellent. Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you for the comment. What do you have, Scott, in terms of our viewers?
I don't have anything. You have the mailbag, dude.
Scott, here's our second listener mail, and once again, we will read your comments on the air regardless.
Live. Or
it's from a EC Fish. First of all, I'm thinking that might be a phony.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Harmon. You aren't funny.
Man.
And even if you were, your habit of laughing at your own shit with that idiot guffaw undercuts it completely. Also, you know nothing and don't prepare, choosing instead to wing it and invite your listeners to correct you. No, do your fucking job. Do you record in a bathroom or a basement? Terribly echoey sound. I really like the material you cover. You covered it badly.
I thought we were going to end on a...
All I can say, Scott, is haters will...
Oh, man.
Hate.
Yeah, you got a hater, man.
Yeah, what the fuck's up with EC no, Fish?
He hates you, Harmon.
Oh, well, but it just goes to show, we will read your comments on
Yeah, even if we don't like them.
And to answer your question, EC Fish, no, I don't record any.
That would be ridiculous.
Thank you for asking. And with that, thanks a lot for tuning in to another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. Thanks a lot for tuning in, and bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.